News Radio 700 WLW.
Rock, it seems like only yesterday that the pot industry was the next just sure thing.
Right, and it just seemed like there was so much upside, right? There was all the money it's going to come from, and it's going to fund all these schools and build all these bridges and repair all these roads. And apparently that's not happening, right? I mean, there's, it's getting taxed to death and a bunch of other reasons. And we saw this topic, and we thought we'd explore it a little bit.
Let's get an expert in the matter. We got our good friend Jerry J-Man Joyner. J-Man, what's going on, buddy?
Eddie, Rocky, how y'all today?
Doing good. Great. And J-Man, you host Weed and Whiskey TV. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, well, we have a news show, Weed and Whiskey News. It goes off on every Friday at 4:20, and it's on the Weed and Whiskey TV network.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Rocky, that's my birthday. I was born 4/20/1960. So for right at 50 years, I've been a daily cannabis user.
You were meant for this.
Yes.
Born
into it.
So, yes. Jared, what's going on with the cannabis industry? Because it sure did seem like Rocky and I were talking before we got you on, that this was the next big thing.
Well, you know, it's all in the perspective of the way that you look at it. For consumers, it is the next big thing. More people are using THC and CBD products than they have ever before. So it's kind of curious of why are these companies in such bad shape? Well, right. the federal illegalization of cannabis makes it to where businesses can't do business like other people. So they're paying multiple much higher interest rates on their business loans and stuff. So they're all upside down, okay? And they're all behind on paying their taxes, too. That's a big thing about these stories that are in the news right now. Where's all the money to pay the taxes? Well, like a lot of small businesses, these people tried to pay other things. They didn't accrue the money for the taxes. Now they're all behind and at the subject of losing their license even.
Potheads not paying their taxes? Oh, come on, J-Man.
Well, no, not the potheads, the pot people.
I know.
When you say a pothead, if we're talking about legacy or black market people, they're thriving, okay, because of the upsurges in people wanting to try marijuana, the people that are in the legal business.
So aren't we kind of in the same boat we were in 10 years ago, which is everyone's going back to the street stuff because it's so much less expensive?
That's correct, because it's so much less expensive, especially the people that use what we call flower, or they're smoking the cannabis. Now, when we're talking about edibles and tinctures and topicals, that's a little bit different because it's hard for the legacy pot people to buy a couple million dollars worth of manufacturing equipment, which is what people did. They went and borrowed money. You know, I got a good friend. He started Wingstop, okay, and he says, don't borrow money to start a business. It's a tough way to make it work. If it doesn't work out, then you owe a bunch. So so many people got into this space thinking we're going to make a bunch of money being in the pot business, and they probably weren't. I don't want to put anybody on the table, but were they good business people, or they thought, hey, it's pot, everybody wants to buy it, this will be an easy thing, and then they found out it's like every other business out there. There's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things to make them successful.
And you would have thought, and I think part of the process of legalizing was that the illegal stuff, the black market stuff, would go away. And from the sounds of this, those guys they're thriving more than ever.
They are thriving more than ever.
Wow.
You know, because usage is up, people go to a state where it's legal, where your adult use is legal. They try it, they like it, they come back to their state, and it's not readily available at any store, so they turn to the legacy. It used to be called the black market, right, or the illegal market. Well, those guys like for it to be called the legacy market. And then from the consumption standpoint, you've got this stuff called Delta 8 and Delta 9, which are THC derivative products. You can get them in virtually every convenience store, your gas station. Here in Texas, THC cannabis, like we have in Colorado, California, it's illegal. But I can walk we're in the entertainment district down here in downtown Dallas. I can, in walking distance, there's six places that I can go and buy a pre-rolled joint or buy some gummies that have THC that would make me show up positive on a drug test if I were to ingest that. And it's 100% legal, and it's taxed differently. So the confusion, because every state's different, the feds have got it illegal, make it a wild, wild west, and people made a bunch of money in the beginning, but now it's kind of filtering all the actors out that might not should be in the space.
So the people that are making it, what are they doing differently? You said they're just smarter, business-minded people, but is there anything specific that they have done or are doing?
Well, you know, you got to set your business up on a P&L, and you got to make sure that you allow to pay your taxes of the money that you collect. That seems to be the biggest problem in both Colorado, California, and Washington State right now. They're all over $1 billion in taxable sales. California at 5.3 billion, Colorado and Washington about $1.5 billion each, and their numbers are all down. Well, some studies tell us it's because people go to those states, they try it, then they come back, or their state now or the state next to them has cannabis available, so they don't travel to California or Colorado or Washington State. So their numbers are down. And like a lot of people, you know, they don't invest their money back into their business. And I think that that's been a big issue. Everybody tried to grow real big and be a multi-state operator instead of just taking care of the thing that they're doing in their backyard. So.
Right. So, I mean, J-Man, I'm not a pot guy, but one of the things that I could see a benefit of having it legal is at least if you're going to use it, you know what's in it, right? It's regulated, and you always hear stuff is, you know, drugs have fentanyl in it and this and that. At least when it's done this way, it's more expensive, but you know what you're getting kind of thing. But it seems like is the average person not moved by that as much?
Oh, I think that they should be. If they're not, they should be, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy for bad actors to create a product right. that makes you think it's good. And so my recommendation to people, look at that package. If it has a QR code, go to the QR code, which should take you to your COA, your Certificate of Analysis. There's a lot of products out here. They don't have any of that. They don't have the proper labeling. They buy some product. They don't even know what it is. They buy it wholesale from these online purveyors who get in the pot business, and all of a sudden you don't know what you're taking. That is a big scare. In addition to mismarking things, we had a situation there on the East Coast. One of the big providers of CBD products mislabeled THC, put it in a CBD container, and people that thought, well, I can take this. It's not going to show up on a drug test. I'll be okay. All of a sudden found out that they were showing up positive for THC because of a mislabeling. And they hit them with a $100,000 fine. I think that fine should have been a lot more for mislabeling a product, because any other consumer package good, you want to make sure what you're getting is what's in that package. And I suggest to all people listening, make sure and check that that's from a good provider. Check that COA on the packaging. If it doesn't have one, don't buy it.
So, J-Man, if you could, just forecast for us. Well, all these people that are invested in all this legal pot business, what do you see coming down the line here in the next year, 5 years, 10 years? Are they all going to go out of business? Is it going to go back to just kind of the regular on-the-street days again, or is it still going to thrive?
Well, I think that on-the-street days is going to still be here for a while until the federal law changes. It's going to be here. But I think like any other industry, the bad actors will get filtered out. The good players that run their businesses correctly will be able to overcome this, and we'll continue to see consolidation, which is happening right now. But there's multi-billion-dollar publicly traded companies that are in this space. Constellation Brands, they made a $4 billion investment into Canopy Growth, okay? The bigger players that are in this space, and Big Pharma has started looking at this space also, will keep it alive. Our goal is to hope that people are educated and they use stuff in moderation, whether it's the weed or the whiskey or music or TV. You know, folks use common sense, and if you want to try this stuff, just pay attention to what you're doing and do it in moderation. But I think cannabis has made its mark. Billions of dollars are being sold, so I don't think it's poof, it's going to go away like my NFTs and my metaverse play did.
There's that too.
All right, J-Man, really appreciate you talking to us, man.
Anytime, Eddie, Rocky, y'all have a great day.
Thanks, J-Man. See you, buddy.
Jerry J-Man Joyner.
There's a guy who's passionate about what he does.
Absolutely. You know, I love it.